Welcome to the Secured Podcast. This is your host, Mike Matranga, with our co-host, Mike Monsiv, with ASAP Security Services. Today, we're going to talk about the effectiveness, yet the perceived dangers of artificial intelligence. And so with that said, I'll turn it over to Mike, since he's a little more well-versed in this than I am. I'm just going to be here as more eye candy for you guys.
Yeah. So, look, yeah.
You don't want to talk about
this
that?
This isn't your, this is, you know, you, I specifically want to talk about it with you because you have been able to see how AI has changed security and allowed you to be proactive in there. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is all of the security technology being lumped in to AI.
AI, right?
And at the same time, AI is advancing at an incredibly fast rate.
Yeah.
So over the past several months, a whole bunch of new revisions and versions and different people's AI platforms have been rolled out. Google Gemini, for example, the newer versions of ChatGPT, and competitors to ChatGPT have been released. And so we're seeing a whole bunch of things that are happening, you know, in the education space, specifically around all these tools that are coming out, leveraging all of these technologies that are changing the educational landscape. But we've really been dealing with AI and security for a very, very long time, even before any of this other stuff from AI was there. And it was always the big, you know, bad thing, right? AI is in there. And so if you go back to the very first versions of facial recognitions, and today we don't even call it facial recognition because of all the negative connotations that are tied to it. The very, very simplest first forms of facial recognition did have some biases in it, right? And specifically to darker complexion, brown and black, there were some biases in that software. And today we're still dealing with the damage that those first versions did, but it's not done that way anymore and hasn't been done that way by the major vendors who provide facial recognition. It has changed and evolved so much. And now it's truly a mathematical formula, right? So that everybody's face is different. And so the artificial intelligence, the camera, the metadata, all of that underlying thing is actually performing a mathematical equation. And based on the distances between your eyes, the bridge of your nose, your cheekbones, all of these different things that it takes into the measurements, it then calculates a number and assigns a numerical value to that person's face.
Yeah.
Right? It does not take into consideration
race, gender,
skin color, gender, anything. It is purely a mathematical formula based on measurements.
Yeah, and I think, you know, 2018, 2019, we rolled out, there was then a company called AnyVision, now called Usto. Yep. Still a phenomenal product. If anybody's interested in that particular type of product, I would highly recommend that. No, I don't get paid by them. However, if you guys want to sponsor our show, you're happy to do that, Usto. And Dennis, I'll reach out to you and I'll make sure you get this this video. But yeah, so, you know, 2018, 2019, us and Santa Fe ISD, Texas City ISD, Santa Fe ISD were the first to bring that level of proactive facial recognition to schools. You guys were the ones who helped bring us bring that into our campuses. And I can tell you, the early variations of those or that particular type of software or technology did have such a negative connotation that I had to suffer through all of the accusations of racially profiling. But, you know,
here's what's crazy, though. If I had to ask you. Out of all the technology that we deployed.
That's definitely the best.
And it was the most
effective.
Proactive. Right?
Most proactive.
It was something that you saw somebody coming.
Yeah.
before they got to the front door.
Absolutely.
Everybody knew, you were able to respond. Yeah.
I will tell you, that is, out of all of the technology that we had, and we had a lot back then, we kind of set the pace, which now a lot of this stuff is standard. Everybody thought I was crazy back in those days. Mm-hmm. And now the things that I did in 2018 are now common. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not so crazy, right? Mm-hmm. I was just ahead of my time. And because I understand the effectiveness of proactiveness.
Yeah.
And I will tell you, without a doubt, that was the most effective software I have ever used. And
so,
if given the right software with the right method of deployment, mm-hmm. And with the right people to build that in a proactive manner, it could be the only software you really need outside of just your general cameras and your access control.
Right.
You more than likely know who your threats are. You know, over 90-something percent.
I think you said something one time in a magazine interview.
Yeah, but you know, that kind of goes in one ear and out the other.
Okay, right.
Multiple times.
Wolf in the hen house.
You kind of know who your people are that want to do harm to you, or the people that you're responsible for. And so if you already have 95% of the equation figured out, then you're utilizing this software proactively to identify those people who are going to come to you to inflict harm on you. You're winning, man. You're absolutely winning. And so, but you know, I had to wade through all the nonsense with all of the activists and the people who were looking at the early reports of AI, you know, facial recognition being, you know, discriminatory in nature against African Americans and Hispanics. When in reality, that's just not the case. The case is that the software that we chose that because it didn't take into consider race or gender. Like you said a while ago, it is simply a mathematical equation. I used to laugh when people would get all bent out of shape. I'm like, what are you upset about? It's taking a measurement of your face.
It was. We've met some pretty amazing people. Mm-hmm. Like on our journeys through schools and everything else. And one area that continues to amaze me is the front office.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, man.
It's
the brain of the school, man.
The truancy side, that right there, the predominantly ladies, women that work there, and they know everything. They truly do. They, by sight, know parents, families that are divorced and have remarried.
Or going through a divorce.
Or both going through divorce. And so, you know, when we've looked at schools that didn't have a visitor management or didn't really have a process to process students in or out, you know, I've sat down with some of these individuals and been like, okay, but if you needed to know, like, who picked up Johnny early?
Yeah.
At 2 o'clock on this day, it'd be like, I could tell you. Anyway, hold on.
Yeah.
You have how many students here? But I could tell you who came in. But it's not written down. There's not a process.
No, they know.
I know. And it's true. This tool gives them so much more mm-hmm. in there. And the reality is, some days, one of those people is going to be out, right? Mm-hmm. And you got to be able to give that school or that business, you know, let's not just leave businesses out of here a fighting chance. You know, we've successfully rolled this out within corporations, right, mm-hmm. and corporate-wide. And when they actually engage and start running it, right, we get through all the legal hoops, and then they roll this out. And then that first thing happens, hey, we have a person that's doing espionage, and we think this is an associated actor, or we have an individual who's made a former spouse that has made a threat to harm or injure this individual.
Who's
an employee here.
Terminated employee,
right?
Who's made threats.
And when we start working with these corporations and or schools and we get the processes built and they start using it, how it changes their mm-hmm. security culture. And out of everything that I think that we sell and recommend, this is one of the things that we have to apply the most pressure to initially get the buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
But then after it's deployed, it's one of those things that they're the lifelong customer. There's somebody who's there like, oh my gosh, you have done this. You've gotten this done and done this and everything else. But we had to try so hard to get it installed to begin with,
but
right?
Even though we got it installed and it was proven to work, the school district that I was formerly an executive director of school of safety security at, school safety and security at, they no longer use it. You know why? Because the superintendent gave in to the social pressures of inaccurate information that was presented by a group of activists who had a personal grievance with me, and they gave into it and they got away from it, and it was the most effective tool that we've ever used.
Well, and we've seen situations where, let's say, an organization has a law enforcement component or they have services on there, and they just absolutely will not discuss it.
No.
100%. Like, we will not talk about facial recognition, so much so that we don't even call it facial recognition anymore.
Oh, but, yeah, we've gotten to where we have to call it image likeness because people get so weirded out. But, you know, what I don't understand is this caution around facial recognition. You have no reasonable expectation of privacy in a public setting, for one. For two, we're not entering you into the system. We're entering known actors, people that we know want to cause us harm. An employee, like you said, who has a spouse who's caused a threat, a former employee who's been terminated due to whatever behaviors that's exhibited signs or symptoms of pre-attack, who's, you know, exhibited that they have an unusual interest towards your facility, or another employee, you know, a group of individuals who may be anti whatever it is that you're doing.
A ring of theft, right?
Theft
people
ring.
Coming in there, the organized crime coming in. You know, when I started my career in security, and actually in the installing security system side, I did a lot in retail, right? So every major retailer that in the nation we did work for, and you would go into a loss prevention room or in a manager's office, and it was often pictures taped up all over the walls of "Be on the lookout," right? Bolos.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout,
when
right?
Pouring out this big book that's this thick, you know?
It's like, and how many times have we seen that? And so,
how do you recognize all these people in a book that's this thick?
You know? And these police officers, security guards are supposed to study this book and from memory recognize this. And if you think about a retail environment, right, that this is in there, this loss prevention person is supposed to know just from sight that this person came in, because they've inflicted so much pain upon the organization in theft and damages, and it's truly on the memory recollection of that individual to know.
Yeah.
Whereas I am not saying that technology and image likeness, facial recognition is imperfect. But it does is it gives you a jumping off point.
Well,
okay. And so, hey, you just got a ping that this person's on here and we think that it matches.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now I'm going to pay attention to that individual. It may or may not be. And me as a human, I'm going to make a decision.
Well, it's incumbent upon you to write the policies that don't allow for any type of, you know, I wouldn't say don't allow false positives, because you're going to have false positives. I don't care what system it is.
Sure.
You're going to have false positives. It's incumbent upon you as the person responsible for that software to write a policy that states that we're not going to solely rely upon the software to identify. We are going to use a series or a set of human eyes or multiple sets of human eyes, and that policy has to be written and adhered to, so that you don't infringe upon someone's rights.
I treat it just like any other source of intel, right? You get fed information.
Yeah.
And you need to look at it, you need to decipher it, you need to validate it, and is this real? Is this actionable? Is this, you know, something that I need to do something with?
Right.
And it doesn't matter whether that's a tip coming in, right? Or it's a ping that you may have somebody as a match in your database.
I mean, think about it, right? It could have been any of them: Parkland, Uvalde, Covenant Christian, Sandy Hook. someone knew that those individuals had some type of unusual interest or infatuation, right? If school districts, now I'm not saying you just go put random people into your system, but if there's a concern, a valid concern that this person may want to do harm, maybe they do, maybe they don't, but they've exhibited that, right? We put them into the system. That person then makes their way upon to the campus. The system identifies, you have a series of notifications that come out. Not saying that it would have prevented anything in Sandy Hook or Parkland or any of that other stuff, but what I will tell you is from my own personal experience, I have seen it work that way.
Right.
Because we had a robust system that identified students that either had law enforcement issues, that they were not allowed on campus, or they had exhibited threatening behavior towards our campuses.
Let's take a real world situation, right? So this year specifically, we've had the proof of all of the shootings at sporting events, outdoor sporting events, specifically football games was a lot of them, right? And so some of that, if you go back and do the research, was a spillover. Something happened in the school, right, during school hours. Maybe there was a fight. Maybe there was an altercation. Maybe somebody was suspended or expelled. Friday night rolls around, and, oh, we're going to have this football game. Well, all of a sudden now, it's free game. Oh, he's a student. We're going to let him in, right?
Yeah.
Not that that student was just expelled for fighting over somebody else or something happened, and now he's going to show up in front of everybody and act the big man and do something about it, right? If you had deployed...
We did deploy.
Facial recognition.
Yeah.
Just talk about a hypothetical right now.
Let's go back. We'll go back to ours.
If you had deployed it and this person was expelled or suspended and the policy is that you're not allowed to attend extracurricular activities, right, because you're suspended or expelled, they could be added to a list. And when they're going through a security checkpoint to get into the football game, right then and there, it lets the people know the situation.
They're not supposed to be there.
Can I see your ID? You match the description. Okay, you know you're not supposed to be here, right? You stop that right then and there in its tracks.
May of 2019. We deployed facial recognition. You guys designed the exterior boxes that we installed on every entry gate.
In the final hours, it was...
In the final hours, but we got it
cellular.
Right. Now, I had just hired an individual to be my director.
Right.
African-American male. We deployed that, and I remember distinctly having a conversation with him and you. Because I believed in the product, but I wanted to see it work, and so we deployed it. Mike and his team designed the boxes to house the cameras that we installed on a wrought iron fence at the checkpoint.
Put them up temporarily.
I had two of my team members working in the press box as overwatch, monitoring the system. Because we knew we would have people enter our facility or enter our graduation that was not supposed to be there.
Yep.
And I remember having that distinct conversation with the former director and you just saying, I just want to see it work. I if it works tonight and someone attempts to get in that's not supposed to be here and it catches them, then I'll be bought in. And sure enough, we had a student that was a violent student that had been sent to the alternatives campus, was not allowed to participate in any of these particular types of things. The system identified him 40 feet away from the entry gate. We got a notification. By the time we walked to that side of the field, he had already walked, we let him walk in. In that time, we were processing the policy, validating the policy. Two sets of eyes, three sets of eyes need to identify along with the software, is this the person? So my guys up top are going through, yep, I think that's him. Yes, I think that's him. Officer, can you check this out? Yes, I think that's him. We let him walk in. He sits down. The second he sits down, the officer taps him on his shoulder. I need to see your identification. You're not supposed to be here. The first thing out of his mouth, how did you know I was here?
Yep.
He thought he was just going to slide right in under the radar.
He did.
And we got him. And we sent his butt out, and
it was
it was beautiful.
It's one of the few times when you do what we do. I mean, many times we deploy technology and we hear about the success, very rarely, you know, because we deploy it and then something happens and then it's success and we hear about it from the customer and they're excited. Mm-hmm. But very rarely do we get to like witness the customer's reaction in real time. And that was really a
well,
cool
we always,
moment.
I mean, you, I was client, you were, or I was customer, you were vendor at that time.
Yes.
And, you know, here we are 5 years later. Now we're, you know, working together, business partners, essentially. And, I mean, it's just the level of professionalism, the can-do attitude, the no-fail mission. Those are the things that I'm used to. And you guys rose above and beyond and rose to the occasion for that and made sure that we got what we paid for. And, you know, I tell you, man, I was a believer. After that.
What was also fun about that is we had you had a significant amount of law enforcement agencies there present that night. And so we had another individual that had tried to come in one gate mm-hmm. and stopped him outside the gate. And he turned around and left. What did he do?
Went put his gun in his car.
Well, no, he went to the other gate.
Tried to get in the other gate, too.
Took a shirt off, put a different shirt on. Came back
Got him again.
And,
different gate.
I remember the chief of the police department down there going, I can't believe it, right?
He's like, this is amazing.
It works, man.
I tell you.
And so then after that, we just had win after win after win after win with that software where, you know, there was incidents where someone wasn't supposed to be there or there was a restraining order. And officers were notified. You had the process in place. Your team notified the officers on site. They went out into the parking lot and identified the problem out there and handled it before they even approached the front door, you know?
You know, and I think that's the thing that we need to differentiate is that there's artificial intelligence. It's just such a broad term,
right? It is. And unfortunately, everything's getting grouped in.
Everything's getting grouped in is that it's bad, right? Listen, anything you have, if you eat enough cheese, it's going to be bad for you. If you eat too much, drink too much soda, it's going to be bad for you, right? If you abuse artificial intelligence, it's going to be bad for you, right? If not done right, it can be a problem. It can be abused.
Some of the things that we're seeing today that are changing, and this is why I really wanted to talk about this, was that some of this, as soon as you use the word AI with security, people automatically start thinking of like ChatGPT or the meme videos where you can make somebody who's been deceased for 20 years, you can take a photo of them and make them say something in a video that looks real.
My sister just got hacked literally this weekend on Facebook. And it was, you know, I woke up Saturday morning and I opened up Facebook and it's my sister. And it's, you know, some Cash App, Bitcoin type nonsense. And my sister doesn't engage in any of that stuff. But there's a video of her saying, hey, the Cash App, Bitcoin, whatever really works. You should try it. And I go, what the hell? So I call her. I said, hey, did you get hacked? She said, yeah, I can't even log into my Facebook. Somebody hacked me. I said, well, how'd you make that video? Because I thought it was her.
Right.
AI generated video. Yep. They took a picture of her. And she got her saying, I mean, her voice and everything. Yep. But then I went back and I looked at the video again, and her mouth is not right.
But it's getting very good. Right?
Very good.
So, little tip that everybody should do if you haven't done it, I highly recommend. You need to establish right now today, if you don't have one, you need a family passcode that only you and your immediate family know, so that if you get sent a video or you get a phone call and it sounds like somebody who's asking for money or for you to do X, Y, and Z, you can ask for the passcode and you know right then and there whether it's real or not.
Yeah.
Right? Well, and so we're just going to see this, the scary side of this, right? So I wanted to make that line of distinction. You know, AI, the ability for a camera to detect a person or a vehicle, this isn't new. Right? This technology goes back 15, 20 years, and it's been an evolution, and it's getting better and better and better, right? That is meant to be proactive from security. However, this stuff that we're seeing with audio and video and film and pictures,
scary.
It's scary. It is scary. Because you think about right now, we're in an election year. Someone who had ill intent, let's say a particular party.
Or let's say not even a party. Let's say a foreign government, right? A foreign entity.
Absolutely. Could take, release something and say, here's a video call that we had today with president or a presidential candidate, and here's what they promised us in turn if we did these things. And they pushed out a video, right? The general public and the media may truly not be able to identify whether it was real or not.
And then when you say the general public, I laugh because, you know, listen, I'm not making fun of people, but I'm making fun of people. You know, most of the time, if it's too good to be true, or it's too, you know, it's something that you wouldn't normally believe, that probably you should go with that. And what I mean by that is, you know, I can remember being with the Secret Service and working the duty desk, and, you know, for a week, and then every, you know, you're answering the calls, taking calls every day, and it's, you know, the same citizenry calling saying, hey, I got scammed out of $200,000 in this, you know, Ponzi type scam or some Nigerian, you know, scam or whatever. And you sit back and you and all the red flags to me were there. And I'm going, surely these people can't be this unintelligent that they thought that they were going to be getting X amount of dollars. You know, but what I'm saying and what I hear you saying is that these AI videos that can be created, they are that good where the general populace of the United States could be fooled to think Absolutely. That the president of the United States has made a video declaring an act of war on X, Y, and Z country, and then we've created pandemonium and chaos. And well, so I do think there should be some type of regulation.
Or worse, right? It turns around and somebody makes this video, mainstream media picks it up, and another country perceives that as a threat.
And then now we're lobbing bombs.
Yeah, I mean, that's an extreme situation. Well, but when you see the quality of the videos that are coming out now, to the point to where you could make potentially an entire movie. You know, I was really reminded of that today. I mean, we use an advanced phone system here, and I was traveling and I was using a different version of the phone than I normally do, and it was the desktop client. And so I had a call about a client with one of my team members, and we went over everything we needed to do. And it was a 57-minute phone call, mm-hmm. right? It was not short. And we were going over all the things that needed to be done. And they had rolled out a new feature. Now, I already have a bunch of the features in there, reason why we use this. But the new feature was based off of a ChatGPT ingestion of it. And it took our phone call and created a summary, which was like a 4 or 5 sentence paragraph of the entire call, which did a really great job, very accurate of summarizing the call.
Summarized 57 minutes and 5 sentences?
Yes. And then after that, it had action items for me, things that I needed to do.
Wow.
And things for my team member who was on the call of things that they needed to do, and gave a bulleted action item list of everything that needed to be done.
That's pretty impressive.
And it
was... So no more excuses, folks.
It was...
For dropping the ball.
Highly, highly accurate. Yeah. I was blown away.
I remember the first time I ever logged into ChatGPT was with you.
Mm-hmm. And we started giving it prompts.
We started giving it prompts, and I was going, holy smokes. Like, you know, and we had a colleague of ours who's in the behavioral threat assessment piece who actually wrote some of the national guidelines. And they, you know, we ChatGPT, give us the whatever for this, and boom, it starts populating it, putting it all in order, and this person's going, holy smokes.
Yeah.
This is all of the stuff that I wrote, you know, right. And it's organizing it. It's the first time I've ever seen it.
What's interesting, though, I don't know how much you follow about it, given this is all same topic, right? So there's and I should have done some more detail before, but there was a university professor that failed a student based off of a paper that she turned in. Mm-hmm. And his argument is that she used
ChatGPT.
No, that she used AI, which was against the policy. And so the argument is that she didn't. She legitimately wrote the paper, but she was using Google Docs to write the paper, I believe.
Yeah.
And had Grammarly turned on.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Okay. Well, Grammarly, in order to do that functionally, okay. But we've, since the very first version of Word or processors or anything in there, we've had spell check, we've had punctuation checks in any type of word processor. Now, Grammarly does have advanced features where it can help you, you know, look at conjugations and formatting and things like that. And that's the argument. But Grammarly's picked up the case with her and is supporting her legal defenses actually take it through. And so there is a double-sided to this, right? What's really been interesting is, you know, legitimately, you have to think that every post that you read, every book that you read, every newspaper article that you read from that day forward, there's a real probability that some of that is not based on any type of human thought.
Yeah.
Right? That was somebody taking a shortcut, collecting
it, computer generated,
and throwing it out.
It is scary. I like doing what you did with me with ChatGPT, someone who's never used it. I was at the ranch here a while back, and a friend of ours was there, and she does a lot of the bookkeeping and whatnot. And one of the ranch has gotten so big, not my ranch, personal friend of mine, but they needed a waiver for the ranch.
Yeah,
for,
I'll meet you, you
know, shooting activities and all this other stuff. And she says, Mike, can you, you know, because we, you know, you and I, we write contracts and waivers and stuff all the time. And I was being lazy. And she's like, Mike, can you give me, or can you write me a waiver for the ranch, you know, for use? And I was like, yeah, I can. I was like, why don't you just use ChatGPT? And she's like, what? I said, ChatGPT. And so she's like, I don't know what it is. I said, oh, I'm about to blow your mind.
Right.
So I brought her over there and I said, okay, what functions or what activities you want it to cover? Well, shooting sports, you know, water sports, you know, ATVs, general liability stuff. I was like, okay. So I plug all that in there. Write me a general liability waiver for these particular types of activities, blah, 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 for this ranch. Boom. Her face, she was like, holy, what the hell? And I was going, that's AI. She's like, oh, this is like magic.
Magic, it's the magic button.
Like, yeah, it is. I said, yeah, you can't, you know, I mean, it's going to cover the majority of what you need, and then you're going to have to put some, you know, personal thought into this, but it's a phenomenal tool. You know, listen, it's, I am not against AI. I'm against the responsible use, or I am for the responsible use of AI.
It is scary to think, though, right? If you think about the evolution of education specifically, mm-hmm. right? We both have kids. Luckily, we're at the tail end of education.
I'm really at the tail end.
Yeah. But the reality is that how fast that technology is evolving and changing, and how quickly our educators are having to come back up there, right? Just as soon as ChatGPT came out and all the other flavors out of it and all the people who've taken that technology and developed on it, there's has to be the counter side of that, mm-hmm. which is being able to take somebody's document and run it through it and identify, was this, you know, made by somebody else, right? Was this AI generated text? And so, you know, you automatically are seeing an industry that's now trying to verify, is this truly human input that's in there? But the you know, today, kids aren't taught how to write cursive anymore, right?
So funny you say that. 2 days ago, I'm at the house. I'm sorry, I had to distract you. But 2 days ago, I'm at the house, and my daughter's there, and she's like, Dad, where's Mom? I said, she's in the bathtub. Oh, man. I said, what? She goes, the kid down the street named Jet, right? Cool name. Kid's name's Jet. She goes, Jet's asking Kylie to prom, but he wants somebody to write her name in cursive because it's fancier, but he doesn't know how to write it. can you or mom write it in cursive for him? I said, oh my God, we are failing as a society.
Yeah.
So I said, yeah, have him come on down and I'll write it for him, or mom will write it for him. And so he comes down there. He's like, he has all the other words written in print, but he doesn't know how to write her name in cursive. And I'm going, oh my God, what is wrong with us? You know, why are we not teaching this? I don't get it.
Well, we're going
to
be able to take out an entire generation with a cursive letter and a standard shift vehicles.
Oh, like, man.
And then if we make make a phone call on a rotary phone.
Not my first car, but my first car I ever bought was standard.
Right.
Love it. Love it.
It's those things that are there. It's really, really interesting to see, you know, it is amazing to me to see how many cool things are coming out. You know, there's I follow some call them kids, but some college age students who have started leveraging this AI technology in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so they're opening up their MacBook. They're opening up a notes application, and they're doing an audio recording, and they just sit back in the classroom. They don't take a single note, right? And it processes all the audio of what's being said, right? And now they take that audio and they upload it into a website.
Yep.
And it creates
notes,
tests,
yep,
quizzes, and flashcards based off of the audio recording that was uploaded.
That's so impressive, man. It's scary, but it's impressive. I'm hoping that it with this emergence of technology, that our kids become smarter and actually can compete with other countries like China as far as our academics.
I'm afraid of the other side, though.
Yeah.
Right, because we're losing the ability to process thought, and there is certain learning techniques, right? Hearing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Writing it, seeing it, saying it out loud, right? You going through that process and doing it in all of those different ways helps you remember.
Yeah.
And if you take away the writing of it, you know, and potentially you don't even have to listen to it, right? Because someone else could record it for you. You could take the recordings and do it. So you didn't listen to it. And so now, you know, you're just taking a test off of it, right? I mean, I don't know that necessarily that learning technique's there. Maybe it will, but I'm afraid that some of that might go the other way.
We need to have some responsible legislation, I think. I mean, I'm not, you know, AI is fantastic, but I do believe that it needs to be legislated to an extent, right? You know, and some of the, we can really go down the rabbit hole talking about TikTok, right? I think we should save that one for another one, but let's you know, TikTok, right? And how TikTok, there's this algorithm that it's using to identify the things that you watch. But it's not just TikTok. It's Instagram. It's all of them. Right? You know, could it be dangerous? I do believe that it could be dangerous, but I think it could be extremely beneficial too, right?
Yes.
So, you know, I'm curious to see how this evolves, you know, within our American society or just worldly. But it's just getting better. It's self-learning.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just getting better and better and better. I mean, I'm sure today that Usto, AnyVision, is much better today than it was in 2018. Yeah, I can't imagine it being better.
Oh, it's phenomenal.
You know, I tell you, the most effective tool I've ever used. People, if you're going to spend your additional funds on something, don't buy silent panic alarms. Use this, that additional money for proactive software on your cameras to identify people of concern. And I know some people will say, well, we could use it to identify weapons. Yeah, you could, but usually the same people that are going to be brandishing those weapons are the ones you already know about. So,
well, you know, one of the things that and it's AI that's doing it, right?
Yeah.
It's being able to detect a person or vehicle. When we talk about these mega campuses, like we've been to a couple of campuses here that you know, million
massive,
square feet, right, type of campuses.
6 hours to walk. Ridiculous.
Just massive facilities.
Yeah.
And that campus has no idea what's going on the perimeter of their building.
No way,
right?
Man.
And so much so that we've seen some of these campuses that have dedicated video operators in the school that are just watching cameras. And so it's a necessity, right? But if you use the right cameras that have the technology and they're properly placed,
yeah,
you can now turn around and have it detect a person or a vehicle
or
on
a
the
weapon.
Perimeter or a, weapon,
or a weapon,
right? And so at that point, why is this vehicle driving through our parking lot like this? Why did this vehicle just stop and pull
More
pull
importantly,
up here, right?
Why do you have a person sitting and watching cameras when the AI will do the work of that person?
So what I'm saying is now you set up those zones, you set up the schedules, and when you have something happening on the perimeter of your perimeter of your building, at this point, the system is telling you, hey, we just had this vehicle act suspicious. It just parked here. We have a person loitering in our parking lot. We have someone approaching the rear cafeteria door. What's going on? And so instead of trying to watch in a million square foot building, you can guess that there's quite a few cameras there.
Yeah.
It's impossible for a human to look at all these. This is where you take technology and it's telling you something's wrong instead of you missing it on some little square on your screen. And it's really where the rubber meets the road. Right. We have another customer, multi million square foot facility. It is impossible for the guards there to detect something that goes on. You deploy the technology, you set up the rules. All of a sudden now they're being alerted.
So
hey,
that,
this is what's going
that
on.
That same customer, our team did a red team exercise where we did 12 attempts to breach and we got in all 12 times. We were 100% effective. You know, what Mike's saying is that the technology that we're deploying there would now detect our unusual behavior of you know,
Absolutely.
Meandering around
trying
in these areas.
Trying to get in.
You know, these areas that we're not supposed to be. And so, you know, you have to think about this technology as working for you, right? Proactively being the eyes and the ears that you either you can't afford or you can afford, but you're not getting quality, observation from those individuals.
This technology
right?
doesn't sleep.
No,
right?
it never sleeps. It doesn't
multiplier.
Get tired.
It is there.
So if you're going to spend your money on something, I'd rather you spend your money on this rather than some crap, you know, silent panic alarm that's going to do nothing.
With this technology, right, this learning, it's more than detecting a person or vehicle. Now we can do appearance searches, right?
Yeah.
So now we can turn around and
white
say,
shirt.
I'm looking for white shirt and blue jeans. Show me all the images of this. And as you select that individual in the software, it's now going to show you more of that individual to the point that you can literally see every single solitary camera of where this person went in a timeline.
Yeah.
And go back to, okay, well, here's where they got out of their car. Here's where they went past this camera.
Here's where they dropped
this,
the bag.
Here's where they're in there.
They interacted
and go through the
with
entire
this
facility.
Yeah.
When you see it in action, there is nowhere, no substitution, right? And especially when you're talking about a really large facility, a big high school, where is this individual at now? We saw that they came in, they went in this door. We got an alert. They're in the school. Where are they now,
right?
Being able to identify exactly where the last person that he appeared on camera, you know, and being able to send your resources there than playing a scavenger hunt.
I can't tell you. I mean, how many times we did that. I mean, you know, the one case that I always talk about is a kid. There was a one kid that I genuinely worried about. Kid was a known gang member, known to be extremely aggressive. Unfortunately, his father died at a young age. His father was a police officer, died in an ATV accident. Comes home his junior year or senior year, had an older brother that graduated the year before, finds his young older brother that committed suicide. 3 months later, we get an anonymous report, kids playing Russian roulette with a 357 Magnum. I didn't even follow protocol. I immediately called dispatch and said, go to this address. This is what I've got. Here's the video. Kids playing Russian roulette. Don't know if he's going to be alive when you get there. Just giving you a heads up what you're walking into. They fortunately were able to stop him. But then, 6 months later, same kid, he's got aggravated sexual assault charges on him. Hadn't been to school in weeks. We know that the victims are kids. They're our students and some of their family members. We know what his capabilities are. We know his historical past of this particular type of aggressive behavior. We put him in the system. He doesn't show up to school for 2 weeks, but when he does, boom, he gets out of the car. Our camera picks up on him, sends a message to me, our entire SRO team, our administrators on that campus. They, yep, that's him. They don't, he never gets to the threshold of the school. Never gets there. They meet him outside and take him into custody on the felony warrants. Crisis averted, you know? So why everyone
didn't interrupt
the educational,
not one bit,
nothing, didn't interrupt the school. No one knew it happened.
Didn't go into lockdown. All of it was averted.
And the people want to think that they have plans in place. Right. And we can talk about the gap. Right. We talk about the gap in time between a crisis actually happening and the time that someone actually gets there to establish command. That's the gap. Who's in charge? Because most of these school districts and most of these people think that, okay, I am the director of security. I have the title. I'm the one that's in charge. In theory, in reality, you can't account for the gap. The gap time of the time that it happens, the time you can actually get there if you're not already there. Someone on that campus needs to have the tools that they need to have to do the job effectively to thwart these things. Someone needs to know the plan more than someone. Multiple people need to know the plan. I had someone argue with me that, you know, they were going to be the incident commander, and even though they weren't on those campuses, they had to respond to those campuses. I said, well, who's the incident commander? Well, the principal or vice principal. How often are they outside of the school? Often. Okay, well, if they're not there, who's in charge? Me. No, you're not. Someone else is.
Well, I was just with a school, and one of the things that came up was tabletop exercises.
Yeah.
And I specifically asked, and we asked, do they ever use ingest technology into this?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And it was a no, they didn't. And then the next question was not surprising to you, but who's involved in your tabletop exercise? Well, it was their director and all of the law enforcement agencies. Do you involve the principals, the APs, anything at the school level? No. Why not? What happens before you get there, right? Yeah. The incidents happen. You guys are all talking post-event. What about all of that time in between?
Yeah.
Never even brought into the equation. And more importantly, the principals and the APs don't even know what's happening afterwards because mm-hmm. they're not part of the situation at all.
You have to have all those stakeholders engaged. And that's where one of the biggest discrepancies I see and one of the biggest vulnerabilities I see in most plans is that, you know, these directors of security have these good ideas, but they're not engaging the people that are going to fill that gap time. You know, at the end of the day, your title, it tells you you're in charge. The reality is that you're going to have to relinquish some of those duties and some of those responsibilities. And I know it's hard for people to accept, but that's the truth, right? And the unfortunate thing is that most school educators are not warriors. They don't have a warrior mindset. Now, can that be taught? Yes. But we completely, you know, overstep that and don't focus on preparing those people properly. Because we've got a silent panic alarm, or we've got, you know, X, Y, and Z, you know. And then they get their feelings hurt when we go, hey, this is a vulnerability. This is a gap, right? This is an issue that you need to address. You have to empower these people. You're not going to be there. Yes, I am. No, you're not. Mm. No, you're not. You know, or when you do show up, you're not prepared. Look at, you know, Pete Arredondo down in, you know, Uvalde. I didn't think he needed his radio. Who are we selecting for these positions to take charge of our kids or our workforce? Because it can happen at the workplace.
Unfortunately, it's even more basic than that. You and I were out of school not too long ago, and there was a medical emergency while we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And we watched the local emergency responders try to figure out how to get in to the facility.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
To the point that one of our team members was walking into the appointment that we were in, and they stopped him in the parking lot and asked
How do we get inside?
How do we get inside?
We're trying to breach the campus. EMS shows up for a medical emergency. They don't know how to get inside, you know?
And our team ultimately could let them in because we all got in. So, you know, it's one of those things about having the plans to do it. And that's really where your expertise comes in and getting those EAPs in there. And it could be something as simple as there's a medical emergency in the building. What do you do? Right.
If only we had a software that allowed them to write their EAPs.
If only. Oh, wait, we do.
It's coming.
Not all AI is bad as it relates to security technology. Yeah. But we do need to be mindful of, you know, what we're seeing online. Set up a family password with your loved ones. Do it. Yeah. You need to do it. If you have all these mobile accounts, just like his sister with Facebook, set up, two-factor authentication. Have that secondary means to get into your accounts. Mm-hmm. I know it's a hassle. These are the times we live in. You got to get it set up. Get your cybersecurity in check. We can help with that as well.
Yeah. Tell them where to find us.
ServiceASAP.com.
And
M6GlobalDefense.com.
M6GlobalDefense.com. That's it. Yeah.
Either one of those, you can get a hold of us. We can help.
All right. Cool. Thanks.
You.
Appreciate it.